want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 4. And I'll read right here. I'll read this first few verses here. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now, when I say that, church, when I read this phrase, I know it's about everybody in here is either a Bible reader, consistent reader, have read it sometime, or been read to, or heard the reading. So when I mention this name in this chapter, Cain, everybody, how many in here, when I mention the word, the name Cain, you have a negative idea come in your mind? Raise your hand if... Now, if the reason that happens is because we've read the rest of the story. But at this time, in this reading, that it's not that way. But something happens in this text of mine tonight that changes the way we think of this man forever. Something powerful happens to him. And you know, it's that way in this scripture, and it's that way sometimes, many times, in individuals' lives, even some that are here tonight. Now, oh boy, help me, Jesus. And Eve bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, read with me. And in the process, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, if we stop reading there and you didn't know any different, then you'd say, you know, here is a religious man, it's okay. And I know this is really simple, but I've got a little thought here I want to share with you. He brought an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Notice that. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. That sounds like just about everybody you run into anymore. Especially on the highway when you're, you know, driving too slow or too fast. He was wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I think that's very unusual, the way that's stated. Sin lieth at the door. My goodness. I know, I wish somebody volunteered to preach this tonight. I feel heaviness in my soul right now. Sin lieth at the door. I want to preach tonight. If the Lord would help me, I'll get to a title maybe in the process. But the first night of this meeting, I preached about the lion. I preached that the lion has come up from the thicket. How many was here and can remember that I preached along them lines? It's less than half this crowd. I preached about the lion has come up from the thicket. And I preached about the lion being, according to Proverbs 30 and 30, the lion was the greatest of all the beasts. That's what the Bible said. And it said that there was none in the field that could stand against him. And so we compared that lion coming up from the thicket. Amen. And we quoted 1 Peter 5 and 8, I believe it is. It said, amen, our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, I can't emphasize that enough. And I talked about the culture that we lived in and how this typology that Jeremiah used, amen, told us, of course, it was not a literal lion that was coming out of the thicket, even though they could relate very much to that lion because they knew what that meant. And they knew the danger of that. And they knew how formidable that lion was, what an enemy he was, when he came out of his place and moved into the more populated area. Brother Vance is going to help me right here with the door. And I preach to you about a dream that I had. And how that in that dream, I was standing in my house, or a house, and the door was open in the house. How many, I know this is simple, but I want to preach to you. And while I looked at that open door, I saw a lion come into my home. And I panicked. The lion was so swift that it disappeared in my house somewhere. And I know I'm being repetitious for you, and I don't mean to bore you, but all kinds of emotions went through me at this dream, whether to flee out the door, leave the lion in my house. But I realized I had children in the house; they were in the rooms upstairs, and I didn't know exactly which way the lion had ran, and so I just nearly panicked. But I had to make a decision. About in that dream, whether to pursue the lion of all things. And really, Brother Glenn, I in my consciousness, I did not really have confidence that if I did pursue the lion, it was going to turn out in a good fashion. Because I didn't know what. I had nothing in my hand, and nothing but a burden, amen, to see, amen, my children in safety. Amen. And all the time I was worrying and concerned about this. In an instant, it came through my mind, what am I going to do? What should I do? And who left the door open? You say, how could you ponder all of that in a split second? I don't know. It may have been an hour in a dream. You know how it goes. But I woke up in a sweat and an anxiety about me, knowing that God was dealing with me. Amen. In that dream, as I pursued that lion to the next level and looking for either my children to escape or to get the lion out of my house, I realized it wasn't my house at all. Amen. But it was the house of someone I was acquainted with that had got away from God and had lost their family. And I realized, I didn't just say, well, that's not about me. No, I did not. Amen. I took inventory, amen, of my own life. Amen. Come on now. And the old entrance for the enemy to come in. And I preached to you, and I'm going to hurry tonight. And I preached and I left you that night, amen, with the carcass of an old prophet and a lion standing over that dead carcass of that prophet who had disobeyed God, amen, had gone back and ate when God said, don't go back and don't eat. It was simply disobedience. And a lion met him in the way. And I left you that first night with the lion standing over the carcass, amen, of a fallen prophet or a fallen church or a fallen ministry or a fallen world. But are you going to help me preach this little sermon? I'm preaching on something tonight. Amen. And I want to tell you, amen, amen, this enemy I'm preaching about tonight is more formidable than that lion. Are you listening to me? It is more dangerous than that lion. It is more deadly than that lion. Are you listening to me, preach? Amen. I want to preach to you, and I want to tell you this. I can't call this enemy a lion. Amen. I don't know. He takes every evil, amen, descriptive of every animal of prey. Are you listening to me? Amen. Come on now. I want to preach on the monster at the door. Are you going to help me preach? What are you talking about? Amen. God said, Cain, amen, you're in a place right now, amen, where if you'll do the right thing, amen, you'll be okay. But if you go out that door, amen, help me preach. If you go out that door, amen, sin is crouching, amen, at the door. That's what that word lies, amen, means. Every interpretation I can read today in your library, that word lieth at the door. It meant crouching on all fours, ready to spring. Oh, somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you there is, amen, a monster. There is a beast. There is an enemy, amen, that is more dangerous than Satan himself. And that is sin in your life. Anybody going to help me? Now, I must preach right here. I don't know how to get this to you like I need to. I'm going to try, but I'm probably going to fail. But I'm going to try. God looked at Cain and said, and I love, Brother Blue, I love the heart of God here. He says, he notices Cain's reaction. He notices Cain's demeanor when he's rejected at the altar. Are you going to help me preach? Now, I want to point this out to us tonight before I go much further. Cain, amen, was a religious man. It is obvious that he was a religious man by bringing, he was the first. And I don't know, understand all about this. I don't know if Adam and Eve made the sacrifice for them up to a certain point. I don't know. But it seems like, Brother Prescott, that this day was the first day that they had brought an offering to the Lord. Amen. If I may be wrong. But it sounded like that it was maybe the initial time, amen, that they brought, amen, an offering to the Lord. Cain came first, and he brought the fruit of the ground. He was a planter of crops and a harvester of crops. Amen. He brought that offering. Amen. And his brother Abel, younger brother, brought his offering. He brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. Now, you can't get fat from a firstling without some serious invasion of their personal being. Like, huh? So he brought this blood sacrifice. And I'm not going to get into this because my message tonight is not really what was wrong with the sacrifices. I think it's pretty obvious. Amen. But that's not important here. Because really, Brother Peach, amen, if it had just stayed, amen, there where he was until he made the right sacrifice, we'd have never heard it. It would have not have been a negative story. Amen. Are you hearing me? It wouldn't have been a negative, amen, in Cain's life. He wouldn't have been a marked man, amen, if he hadn't have went through that door and that enemy of sin crouching there at the door, amen, to spring on him as he left that place. Oh, my heart. I said, my heart is burdened. Amen. You see, Cain no doubt was raised with a mother and daddy that had told him all about the price of sin, the price of disobedience. Probably many times they had trekked down to the gate of the paradise where the cherubim, over the gate. Amen. And they may have pointed down, amen, that path and said, we had it made. Amen. All was well. Amen. Till that terrible day when we disobeyed God. Amen. You see, Cain heard. Amen. Help me preach a little while. Hey, just like some of our children have heard their testimonies about what sin did to us and what sin caused and what sin, amen, took away from our lives. They told him about walking with God in the cool of the day and how that sin, amen, set him outside of that paradise. God help me. There's not a person in here hardly tonight that's not religious. You believe in God, but that's not enough. The devils believe. You've not even, if that's all you've done is believe in a God. Say amen, and you're just going to give him, amen, from the carnal nature of your heart, what you want to give him at hand. And I'm going to tell you what the biggest difference was in these sacrifices. One was made by faith, and the other one was made without faith. Are you hearing me preach? Amen. It was made by faith, because that is why Abel took a lamb, amen, of his out of his field, a firstling, spotless, pure lamb, and killed that lamb, and took the fat thereof, and carried that in faith, amen, in a seed of a brother, that the seed of the Son of God was going to come, amen, and give his life. Are you listening to me? Oh, I want to preach to you. Amen, you're in this house tonight, and you're just as religious, amen, as the devil is. Are you hearing me preach? It ain't gonna help you none. Amen. Listen. Amen. You say, ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live my life. I differ with you, friend. There's a God of heaven that has taught you how to live and showed you the right way and showed you the bloody line. Amen. And if you reject that, amen, there's sin lying at the door. Hear me. Sin is a beast. It has no conscience. It has no feelings. It does not care. Huh? Are you with me? Who's with me tonight? I got a sermon here to preach. I'm just obeying the Lord. When I get to the altar, I will just preach it another time. The rest of it here. But I want to preach to us some way. I preached about that line Amen. And I preach about him coming into our churches and into our lives. Amen. Amen. And devouring and tearing and ripping. Amen. But then I preach about the church going out and engaging the lion. But you know what? Tonight I feel another burden. There's another beast at the door. He's a monster. Amen. Hey, listen to me. Amen. He affects the young and the old. He affects, amen. Come on now. Amen. Help me preach a little. He affects the religious folk as well as those that don't know anything about it. Oh, if somebody say amen. I tell you, how many times have you come into a house just like this and God appealed to you and say, I'll give you a choice. You can do the right thing and you'll be accepted. You can be just like everybody in the choir. You can be just like that preacher that's screaming in that mic. Amen. If you'll do the right thing. Amen. If you'll believe in God, if you'll believe in His Son Christ, if you'll believe in His resurrection, if you'll repent of your sin, if you'll do it right, amen, you don't have to die. Woo! Woo! Oh! Man is a monster. I was working in a house. And I got to get to my message. Won't you lift your hands here and ask God to help me preach to somebody in this house? Help me preach to somebody in this house. I was working in a house and remodeling, and I was acquainted with these folks, and I knew the story. They had a picture on the wall, an old faded picture of a young girl, and of course, in the process of the remodeling, who's just on the wall? And they told me her name. And she was 16 in that picture. That was just before she took her life. And oh, my beautiful girl, 16 years old, took her own life, shot herself through the heart with a pistol. Oh, my. It just troubled me. I went remodeling weeks later, and I got into the upstairs part of the house and the storage, going to turn an attic into the living quarters. There was boxes of books and pictures, and I was going through them and putting them away, and I picked up a little New Testament. And I knew this family, brother, was a church-oriented family all them years. And I saw a New Testament lying there. And, you know, just something intrigued me. Brother Scott, that I picked it up and thumbed through that. You know, it had been boxed away for many years. I thumbed through and I looked in the front, and there was that girl's name. That Bible belonged to that young girl that had taken her life at 16 years old. And I thought to myself, my, amen, I just heard this story, you know, not recently, you know, it had been later on, earlier on, but my mind went back, that picture on the wall, amen, and that tragic, amen, death of that young girl, amen, who got scolded over a man she was seeing in the sly and got found out and was, you know, really, really corrected in a serious way and realized that she was going to be separated from this guy, amen, and she just didn't want to live without him. Amen, that's pretty pitiful, isn't it? Amen, now stay with me. I want to preach to you a few minutes here tonight. I'm preaching on the monster at the door. Amen, I've opened this Bible, amen, and I just something that moved on me to look and see if there was any scripture in her Bible that had been circled or underlined or highlighted. I looked through the New Testament, amen, and there wasn't hardly any. It didn't look like it had been read all that much, but I kept looking. I looked through it all, and I turned back, and I went through it again. There was one verse underlined and circled in that Bible. I finally found it. Amen. It was the wages of sin is death. Amen. That smote my heart. Here's a little girl that had underlined behind the verse. Amen. You know what that was? That was probably God saying, now, honey, listen. Amen. If you'll do the right thing, amen, I'll accept you, and you don't have to die. But if you go out that door, there is a monster waiting. Amen. Crouch to that door. You ain't helping this preach. I want to preach to you a little tonight. You may be in this house, and you've heard this all your life, and you may have even marked the verse, and you're as religious as anybody, amen, knows. But brother, listen, amen, if you've not made the right sacrifice to God, if you've not done what God has put in your heart to do, amen, don't go out that door. Paul said in Romans 7, amen, sin taking occasion by the commandments deceived me. Hear me? Who's helping this preacher tonight? God help Randy Webb. Sin taking occasion by the commandments deceived me, and thus it slew me. There is a monster looking to slay your life tonight. God, I feel like you need to pray for me right here. Some men's sins go before them to the judgment, and some follow. Sin's a stalker. It's a slayer and a stalker. I know this is not good, happy preaching, but you can shout with sin in your life and go to hell in the morning. Don't go out that door. Hear me. Some men's sins go before them. Is something following you tonight? All the way to where? Follow them where? To the judgment. Stalking. Patiently. Persistently. Never veering. There's a wolf at your door tonight. Are you listening to me preach? Oh, God, help me. I hate to keep asking you. Would you lift your hands one more time? Ask God to deal with somebody in this house tonight. Can you imagine? Am I doing any good? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? That group in that upper room, leaning over how they sat on that floor and ate that last supper, that lamb meat, and that drank that wine and had the communion, and Jesus washed their feet. He washed every one of them's feet. Peter protested, you know, you're not going to wash my feet. You're not ever going to wash my feet. He said, I don't wash. You have no part. He said, hey, oh, look. There was one man in that line. Amen. Come on now. That the Son of God knelt down and put his feet. And it was the feet of a betrayer. It was the feet of a man, are you listening to me preach, that was being stalked, amen, by sin. Amen, Satan had entered his heart. Are you listening to me preach? And he's been haunted, amen, without any turn. Amen, can you imagine this man's life? Amen, sitting at the table with Jesus, watching, amen, John lay his head on his breast, hearing Peter say, amen, ask him who it is. Who it is who I give this sock to. to. Amen, it's Him. Amen, are you listening to me? You say, I never could have done that. Amen, if you're being stalked, amen, you hear me? Amen, you go out that door, Judas. Oh, come on now. You go out that door. Amen, there's something crouched there that's going to drag your, amen, soul to hell. Are you hearing me preach? Amen. Oh, yes. He kissed the door to heaven. Amen. But all the time he was doing it, there was a beast behind him. Amen. Heavily. Amen. Snarling. Ripping at the soul of Judas. Listen, preacher's kid. If we were going to have a holiness magazine, we'd put you right in there as one of the holiness kids. Long-haired girl, and thank God for it. Long sleeves. Amen. Never seen at a ball game. Never heard humming, amen, rascal flax tunes. But you're in that room tonight, and you've got a decision to make. You either do well and be accepted, or you go out that door and sin will be lying there. And I want to tell you, you don't have any idea, amen, how formidable. You say, the devil's been giving me a hard time. The devil can't drag you to hell. Amen. If you don't have sin in your life, but if you've got sin in your life, there ain't enough angels, amen, that could carry you into heaven with sin in your life, because it won't go there. I tell you what, that thing you've looked at on the internet, amen, that conversation you had in the dark of the fellowship hall, that imagination that has drove you to lust and loathed and look for this world. Don't go out that door. Who's helping the preacher preach? You're tempted, James. God doesn't tempt you. Hear me. You're tempted. Will you go to hell for being tempted? You say, I can't hardly stand it, preacher. I work a job and there's so much pressure on me there to fit in. I've been so tempted. You can go to heaven being tempted. But notice this right here. He said you're tempted when you're drawn away. Will you help me preach? Come help me, brother. Now, let's just imagine that I have a line upon you and I begin to draw you. Wait a minute. He's drawing you away from your brother in the Lord, away from your family in God, away from your seed in the church. You're tempted when you're drawn away. You ever hear about a preacher that leaves a good, loving wife and little children that admire him? For a one-night stand out at Motel 6? How in the world did that happen? He should have never got out of that room till he made it right with God. You hear me? You're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. Now listen to this. And lust, when it is conceived. Notice that word, conceived. Conception. Something's getting ready to be born. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth. That's what happens when someone in the natural can see. They bring. But you know what this offspring's name is? I want to tell somebody here something tonight. You had fallen into that temptation not to do what God said. And now you've been enticed. And now you've conceived. Amen. And you see what has been born. Amen. And it's a monster. You ain't helping me preach, are you? Don't. And sin, when it is finished, what? Bring it forth. Death. I believe with all my heart that Caleb, Cain, and Abel both knew exactly what to bring to God. Are you listening? And you know too. And I'm just going to here close this down. I told you 5 minutes, it's up. I'm just going to preach to you. You say, well, preacher, now listen. I could go through the Bible and point out everything in there, but I want you to go back. I want you just to go back, amen, to what Cain, in the way of Cain. What was Cain's sin? What did he do? Amen. Are you listening to me? He just did not come God's way. He could have. He had the opportunity. He had an appeal from God Himself. And he just wouldn't do it. You can let that wrath just eat you alive. And that contempt for your neighbor, your brother. And you can go out that door. And there was a monster waiting. And it got him right around the throat. And he said to his brother, let's go out in the field, out of mom and dad's sight, away from the altar. Let's go out in the field. He was comfortable. That was his habitat. That's what he enjoyed doing. That's where he felt. Matter of fact, he felt so good in the field, he thought God would be appeased with something from the field too. But God don't have the same desires you have. Are you listening to me, preach? He slew his brother. And God said, Cain, where's your brother? Here's the attitude you have sometimes. Am I my brother's keeper? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. The ground never did produce for Cain again. It rebelled for the act he did. He became a vagabond, never able to stay anywhere long enough to raise a crop. On and on and on he went. I feel like telling somebody here tonight, I really, and you've heard this before, but I really feel like somebody in this house needs to get it right before they go out that. Bow your head with me.